I had a very low self-esteem because of people who are talking to me, like, you're not good, you don't work enough, you don't read your Bible enough, you don't pray enough, you're not a good mother, you are too strict, and a lot of things. And when I had this course a couple of years ago, I wrote all those things down. And that was from first, I was sharing to me. That's how it's still helping me through the day and through the years and through the weeks. And this is my line. I can do everything through Christ who is strengthening me. And what I did was this. Because I think there's power in repeating. So when you repeat things out loud, you can hear it. And the Bible says faith is by hearing. So I believe it's very important that you speak things out loud. Because when you speak things out loud, you can hear it. And then faith is rising in your heart. And then you step forward and you can live by that faith. So this is what I did. I took a post-it, you know post-it? Like the little yellow papers, you can stick it on everything. I wrote it down. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. And I was thinking, where should I post it? Because you work all day, you're in the kitchen, you're busy because you're a mom, you have children. And I thought, well, I put it on my mirror. Because in the morning, it's the first thing I do. I brush my teeth, look in the mirror, comb my hair, and there, that's first. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. So the first day, I heard this, you have to spell it out loud. I was in front of the mirror, brushing my teeth. No. And the next, in the evening, I brush my teeth before I go to bed. And I said, and then, I had a lesson about proclamation. Proclamation is what you say. And if you say something, and you want something, you have to say it out loud. And have authority in your words. And have power in your words. If you have a child who's not obedient to you, you can say, well, please, we should not do this. Please. Or you can say, I don't want to do this. Please stop. Then there's authority in your voice. And then you can go and step forward. So this is what I did later. I can do everything through Christ, because He's strengthening me. That is proclamation. So when you want something from God, because it's there, you're a child of God. Jesus is in you. You're a son and a daughter. You are in His family. So you can do everything that Jesus did. So I can do everything that Jesus did. Jesus even said, you can do greater things than I can. So, I want to grab this. So I say every morning, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. So I want to encourage you. When you're at home tonight, take your notes and proclaim the words you wrote down. The words that God has spoken to you. The words that are in the Bible that God wrote down for you. You can read it time after time. You took notes. Maybe a little. Maybe all of them. But these are the words that God has spoken to you. You are His daughter. You are His son. You are beautiful. You can do everything. God is having a dream about your life. He put it in your heart. And He wants you to live your dream. Because it's in your heart and God has given it to you. And that's all for each of us. God puts a dream in your heart. And sometimes you think, well, is it my dream or is it God's dream? Well, you have to pray. But if it's there and it's still coming back, it is God's dream. And He will provide you to live in that dream and to fulfill that dream. But you have to grab it. You can't sit down at your chair and thinking, well, this is the word of God. If I sit here, he provides me. Yes, sometimes it happens like that. But in my life, I have to go forward. I have to step in it. I have to grab the word of God and make it work in my life. So I want to encourage you. Go back tonight. Read your paper. And take the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus that he's spoken to you. Today, through Beryl, through everyone. Through the encouragement you had this morning. You are beautiful. You are blessed. I love your eyes. I heard it. These words are the words from God spoken to people, to you. So say the words. Speak it out loud so you can hear it and it will instill in your heart. It will be there. Okay? So thank you.
Okay, just for the lunch ready, I want to look a bit at the development of children. Why is this important? I mean, of course, if you are a teacher in a school, you probably know these things. But also, if you are teaching children, either in the church or you're involved in children in some way, it's good to know how a child develops, how its learning abilities develop, so that you can adapt the way you teach to fit the age of that child. You understand? There's been a lot of research done into this sort of thing. And one of the people who did a lot of it is a child psychologist called Piaget. You don't need to remember that name. It's not important at all. But this is the things that he discovered about development of children. Okay. A young child from 4 to 7 years is very self-centered. Thinks about itself. That's mine. That's the way that they have learned to see the world around them. A child from 7 to 12, I mean, they're not, it won't stop when they're 12, it doesn't start when they're 7, but this is the way that they see things from, I mean, can a child see something from somebody else's perspective? If you're a young child, can't see that, because they only see themselves. A child from 7 to 12 is more able to see things from other people's perspectives. You can start to reason with them. You know, I don't like you to do that because it makes me feel bad. They can start to realize that. A younger child can't. They don't understand the school. They can't imagine that anybody else has any feeling about things they're doing. About that age, the teenager, adult ages, we can see things from other person's perspective. That's no problem. We can look at some things, as it were, through other people's eyes. And a young child can't do that. So that's something you need to think about when you're working with kids. You know, what age group have I got? And this doesn't make any difference which country you live in. The ages may differ a little bit, but the process of development is the same. We're going to make all these materials available, sir. Will you say something about that?
I was just trying to check with the sound man, with Godfrey. We are recording. We're recording all the sessions. We are also going through these things. If you can't keep up, I mean, continue writing because it's good for memorizing. But if you can't keep up, together we will put something on our website. I'll show you the website later on, and you can download this stuff. If you prefer having it copied, we can, not today, but maybe tomorrow, we can organize so that we can print it out for you. And then you pay for the copies. Yeah.
But even then, what Cora said, writing is always good because you concentrate better. Otherwise, you may fall asleep. Okay. How long can a child stay focused when it's learning? A young child, from 4 to 7, only about 5 minutes. They say that you can't concentrate a child, you can't concentrate longer than your age. So a child of 2 can concentrate for 2 minutes. And then it has to do something else. Why is this important? If you are teaching young children, the 4 to 7 year olds, whether that's in school or in the church, and you know that they can only concentrate for about 5 minutes, I mean some children concentrate even less, but around about that time then, it means you have to do something to change, to make just a bit of a change. Either you do something practical, you change your voice, which is possible, but it has to be, especially I've noticed in the church setting, normally if you are just teaching, you have to make it very, you have to have something which makes it short and create a lot of change. Otherwise you'll lose them after 5 minutes. And you can have a long sermon for the 4-year-olds for half an hour, but after 5 minutes they'll just start to fidgeting around and you've lost. So that's the 4 to 7 year olds. The 7 to 12, about 10 minutes. That's not long. If you speak to, preach to a child for 10 minutes, or you teach a child for 10 minutes, after that you've lost them. And the teenager and adult, only about 20 minutes. How long do our sermons usually last in church? No, I'm serious. 40 minutes? Unless the Holy Spirit really falls, then it doesn't matter. And then a child of 4 can go on. You understand? But, I mean, even as adults, we shut off after 20 minutes, half an hour. And an adult sits there very quietly and starts to keep awake. And maybe just nod off every now and again. But you don't have any problems with them. If you try to do the same with children, then you have a problem. And then you think, why don't you sit still and, you know, sit down? But it's our fault. You know, that's their time span. And so we need to have a very program which changes quite a lot. And that means, as a, when you're preparing something, that you have to be aware of that. And especially with the young ones, I know we have, in our church, we have, for the younger kids, I mean, even the 2, 3, 3-year-olds, every part of the program only lasts about 2 or 3 minutes. You sing for 3 minutes. You tell them a story for 3 minutes. You sing another song. We have, in our church, we also have for the 2, 3, 4-year-olds, we have a corner of the room they meet in, and we've got that, that's called the God's Corner. And it's got some big cushions and pillows in there. And for 2 minutes, the children go in there every Sunday, and that's the place that they can come close to God and listen to God's voice. It's only 2 or 3 minutes. And in that time, God speaks to them. And they share, even the 2-year-olds, share what God has told them. You know? But if you keep them there for 10 minutes, you've lost one. And they won't want to go back there the next week. You know? So you have to be aware of their time span, of what they can concentrate. And again, if the Holy Spirit is really on work, I mean, this doesn't matter. But if I mean, he's always there, but if he's not really pouring himself out, then it's good to be aware of these things. And I don't mean you have to put your alarm clock on after 5 minutes and say, oh, we have to change now. But when you prepare your whatever you're doing, be aware of it. And so that you can
change. Okay. How do children at different ages learn? Now, the younger ones, up to 7 years old, learn through doing and through experiencing things. A young child can experience the presence of God, even though they probably can't understand what you're talking about, because they don't have any way of being able to, they don't have any abstract idea of abstract things. But a child, when you're teaching them, especially I've noticed in the church, they can experience God. They learn through doing and experiencing. I mean, you can't teach them through words, a lot of deep theological truths. I mean, you can teach them Bible truths, of course. But the most way they learn is through doing and through experiencing, what they do themselves. When God speaks to them, they experience God. And that is something they remember. You know, so it's very important. And I'm not talking about feelings, I'm talking about experiencing. No difference. And I believe we should help our children to practice experiencing God. Not just when we are there with them in the setting of church or setting of school or whatever, but when they're at home. But parents need to train their children and to coach them in experiencing God. And that can be in many different ways. It doesn't have to be going in, sitting in a corner, with your eyes closed. You can experience God in a lot of ways. So that's the youngest age group. The next age, the 7 to 12, can start to learn through logical reasoning. Their brain is forming in that way that they can do. I'm going this afternoon in different ways children learn, but this is generally the way that a 7 to 12 year old will learn through logical reasoning. And a teenager, an adult, can learn through abstract concepts. If you just say love to a child, that is abstract. If you say God is love, a young child would have no idea what you're talking about, because that's abstract. You know? As they're getting bigger and older, they can understand that. Of course, you tell them that God is love, but they can't grasp what that means, because you can't take hold of love, you know? You can't go out and get a bit of love. Because they learn by experience. They can experience God's love, but if you just tell them that God loves them, they can't grasp that. So teenagers and adults and children around about 10, 11 can start to understand things abstractly. Okay. The understanding of symbols. A child almost never uses symbols, but it can visualize things. I mean, a heart. If you draw a heart, then an older child or adult will think of love. But if you give a heart to draw a heart to a kid of 4 years old, they don't use that. They can visualize things. They can feel things. They can experience things. But you can't use symbols with them. And I mean, even telling a child you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart, they have no idea what you're talking about. Because they can't, it's a sort of symbol, I mean Jesus, they literally will see a man trying to get into your heart. And if you are working with children who have been sexually abused, they will not want Jesus in their heart. And in fact, according to the Bible, it isn't Jesus who comes in your heart, it's the Holy Spirit. So often we teach the children things which we have learned. You have to accept Jesus into your heart. It's not biblical. The Holy Spirit comes in your heart. Yeah?
But that's just on the fact. An older child, 7 to 12, can understand symbols that are logically related to one another. And an adult can understand all sorts of symbols. Okay. The understanding of time and place. For a young child, they have no idea if you said, we're going on a trip to the town in 2 days' time. They have no idea what is 2 days. I spoke to one of the boys I had in my group at church. He is 7, and I was asking them what they had been doing at Christmas and so on. And he said, we went on holiday, and we went into Germany. And I said, were you in the car a long time? He said, oh, we were in the car such a long time, about 2 hours, which isn't that far, because then he's just in Germany at that time. But they have no idea of time, of relating that to anything. You understand? So you can't say to a child, next week when you come, or in 3 hours' time, or whatever, they can't relate to that. They don't understand that. The older group understands that better. I mean, you can teach them to leave the clock and tell them what time they can get up, and you know, tomorrow we're going to do this. You can do that with those kids. And adults, I mean, for us it's no problem. Okay. Time is often a problem, but the understanding of time not. Yeah? So when you start understanding these things, it's going to help you to probably think more about these things when you are preparing a lesson for the children. You know, oh, this is for us, some things are for us so normal, so obvious, but the child has no idea what you're talking about because they don't have that understanding. It hasn't developed. So we have to get down to their level in all these things of understanding and the way we tell things. And while I'm saying this, when you are preparing, especially for children in a church setting, read your Bible. Maybe this sounds strange, because maybe you're going to tell them the story of Noah and the Ark, for example. I say, oh, I know that story. You don't even read it in your Bible. You may have a special Bible for children, so a children's Bible with pictures, but they're often not right. Read your Bible. When you're preparing a story, read your Bible. What does the Bible say? I mean, take the whole Christmas story. What we teach the children is absolutely not biblical. We say, well, I presume you have the same Christmas story which we have, that Mary went on a donkey to Bethlehem. Find out, where's that in the Bible? She probably did. It doesn't say that. We say that the innkeeper says that there was no room in the inn. At least that's what we have learned to say. The Bible doesn't even talk about an innkeeper. It just says, and there was no room in the inn. Okay. The next one. We have the wise men and the shepherds all together in the stable. Yeah? The wise men came 2 years later. The shepherds were already long ago gone back to their sheep. And at that time, Jesus wasn't even in the stable. They were living in a house when the wise men came. The angels went to the shepherds, and we all said they sang, but they didn't. Angels didn't sing. It says in the Bible, and they said, glory to God. What are we teaching the children? The things we have assumed from what we've heard? Or are we teaching them what's in the Bible? So the next time you do some sort of thing at Christmas, you do nativity plays and things like that. Okay, it's going to ruin it. You'll have to write your own. Okay, the story of Noah and the Ark, another example. How did the animals, how many animals went into the Ark of each sort? A pair, so two. Is that what you teach the children? Is that in the Bible? That's probably what you've been taught. So you assume it. But it's not in the Bible. It says that they went in, the clean animals went in, now the unclean animals went a pair of them, and the unclean, I mean the clean animals, seven pairs. In Genesis 7, you can find that. Okay, you're not going to look at it now, but you see, we assume things because we've learned them. But that's why I'm saying, when you teach the children, read your Bible. Yeah? But it, maybe even for yourself. You know, we say Jesus comes into your heart, but it's the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. So maybe your whole theology has been completely ruined now. So that's good. We can start again from the beginning. Yeah? So when we're teaching the children, we need to know something about development. But we, please, teach them the truth. I mean, I've been doing this myself as well. And I'm just as guilty as all of us are, probably, or some of you probably aren't, but, you know? And, I mean, I had one of our children's workers was telling the story about the friends of what's his name, Daniel, who were in the fiery furnace, you know, those three men. I can't think of the English name. But anyway, and it says in the Bible that there was a fourth man in there. And I was listening to her telling this story, and she said, so she was telling the children this story about, and she did it well, the story about these three friends who were putting into the fiery furnace. And the fourth man, there was a fourth man in there, and that was Daniel. I said to her afterwards, wherever did you get that idea from? She said, yeah, in the children's Bible, that's what it says. Okay. But please, read your Bible. We need to teach the children the truth, because otherwise they're going to grow up with wise men and shepherds in the stable and tell that that's what they're going to tell their children. Good. The next point is understanding how things that you do have consequences for yourself and others. We know as adults that if an example. If I tell a lie and steal something from somebody, then it has consequences for me, and it has consequences for the person I've stolen from, for example. If I go around sleeping with everybody and I get HIV/AIDS, then it has consequences for me, but it has consequences for somebody else. That's what we understand as adults. Children don't have that. They don't have the understanding, the young children, that if there are problems, that they don't, the cause and effect of problems, they don't understand that. That's not the way it's developed yet. If something wrong happens, it's always somebody else's fault. I mean, often we like that as well, quite honestly. But a child can never sort of think that if he does something wrong, then it can have an effect on somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault. The next age group, 7 to 12, starts to understand the cause and effect, and it also starts to feel responsible for its own deeds. The things it does itself, it can start to feel the responsibility, you know, if I do this, then this will happen. And we as adults can take responsibility for our own behavior. We don't always do that, but we are able to because we understand cause and effect. So, as a summary, everything together, a child 4 to 7 is still very self-centered. Its attention span is around 5 minutes. It's learning through doing and experiencing. Very little use of symbols, but it can visualize things. Understanding time and place are difficult, and problems with cause and effect. And child from 7 to 12 is more able to see things from other people's perspectives, has an attention span around 10 minutes, it learns through logical reasoning, understands symbols with logical relations, understands time and place better, and starts to understand cause and effect. And a teenager and adult is able to see things from other perspectives, has an attention span around 20 minutes, which we've had much too long this morning, learning through abstract concepts, understands symbols, understands time and place, and understands cause and effect. So that's a bit of a summary of, so that, you know, if you're working with which age groups, you can say, oh, okay, that's why the children start getting restless. My program is too good. It takes too long. My story takes too long. I always have that problem, quite honestly. We don't tell stories to the children, we preach to them. But I'm going to that later. But I'm always too long, I know, for myself. But if you can use other things in between. I mean, if, for example, if you have a story you want to tell the children, you can use a bit of drama in it. You can have visual aids. All of that breaks that up, and it helps their attention span. But it doesn't mean that, oh, my story only has 10 minutes, I have to do everything in that 10 minutes. No. You can dramatize it, you can share the concept in a different way by drama, by visual aid, by whatever. Yeah? So you have to keep changing. Make it quite fast. Okay. Another psychological development is how children develop in their feelings. The very young child from 0 to 1 is the question, can I trust the world? That is the age group that a child learns to trust. Or not. If a child is brought up in an atmosphere when it's very young, that it learns, I can't trust people, then that's the basic experience, feeling, that it'll grow up, I can't trust people. The world is not trustworthy. The next age, 1 to 3, they start asking, is it okay to be me? The next 3 to 5, is it okay for me to do and move and act? Can I do what I want to do? Is that all right? 5 to 11, can I make it in the world of people and things? And 11 to 18, about who am I and what can I do? And if those things are in a healthy perspective as young, they will grow up to be healthy, balanced people, who will be able to function in the world in a positive, balanced way. If along the way of development that they have learned that people aren't trustworthy, that they can't trust their parents, that what I do isn't okay, so it's not okay to be me, then they will grow up with a negative self-esteem. They will grow up not trusting people. They won't be able to get into relationships with people because they don't trust people. And that starts right at the very, very, very young age. Okay. It's good for repeating what Anita said about proclaiming who you are, proclaiming the positive things. It's very good to repeat things. Also, when we're teaching the children biblical truth, it's good for repeating. But there are some do's and don'ts when you're repeating things. Use repetition of the knowledge you want to teach them. So if you want to teach the children before all that God is love, then you can do that in different ways. You can do a visual aid, you can play it, you can tell them. So you can take that same principle and teach them it in different ways. That is repetition as well. You just keep repeating the same thing in a different way. You can create a familiar or predictable setting for the younger children so that they can feel safe. That's always good to do. Use familiar songs so they can join in. Don't teach the young children a new song every Sunday because they just don't know what they're doing and they can't join in. And the good way to know if they've understood is to ask questions and let them answer them. about the things you've been showing. If the children don't know what you've been talking about, they can't answer simple questions about the teaching you've been given, then you should start to think, you know, is there some way I should be changing the way I'm teaching them? Because they don't seem to be able to understand what I'm talking about. Yeah? So if we're being too... if we have things which are too difficult and above their development age, which they won't be able to understand because they're not developed yet that way, we should start thinking ourselves about, you know, I should change the way I'm teaching so that the children can understand what's happening. Okay, there are also some don'ts about repeating. Don't repeat the same songs and games Sunday or day after day after day after day or Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Just have a few songs which you sing every week and then never ever anything new in between. I mean, the children, we as adults don't like that either. We like sometimes having songs we can join in, which we know, but it's also good to have a new one which we can learn. But if every Sunday morning your worship leader comes in with all new songs, which you've no idea what, you've never heard them before, then as adults, we find that very hard as well. So for kids, we can repeat songs which they know, they can join in, songs with action, songs that they can move around with, or whatever. And every now and again, we introduce a new one. So that's always good. But don't just keep repeating them without any new things. Don't give lengthy explanations about things. They have no idea, they just stop thinking, stop listening, and have no effect. And another don't just use something that worked in the past. Don't just use something, a method, which worked in the past, and which you've been keeping doing because it was good in the past. Or with another group. One big danger, if you've been in children's work for a long time, whether a school teacher or teaching kids in another way in the church or where, is one of the things which is very dangerous, I was going to say, and a don't, is don't lean on experience. Let it be fresh every time, what you're teaching them. And it's very easy to think, okay, when I did this subject last time, I did this and this and this and this, I can pull it out of the cupboard and I can do the same thing again. And certainly, when we are doing that in a church setting, we're teaching children, we need to be dependent on what the Holy Spirit wants to do at that moment for that group of children. And sometimes, I mean, I know we all do this and I do it, the last minute, the one who was teaching the children phones on Sunday morning and said, I'm ill, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I mean, I think we all have that. And then it is, well, useful if you have experience and you can lean on something you've done in the past. Okay, but it mustn't be something which is on a regular basis, you know? Let God give you fresh manner every day, a fresh way to speak to the children, fresh gems from his heart. Because every group of children is different. Every child is unique. And God wants to speak to each child in their own way. And if we're just doing the things we're used to be doing and not dependent on what he wants to do, then it's not going to have the effect that God wants, because we need to feel his heart beating. We need to feel his heart beating for the children. And we need to see what he sees. We need to hear what he's saying. We need to go where he's going. And it can sometimes be a bit scary. If you've prepared something, you've got your program ready, everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing, and then suddenly you have an idea, oh, I think God wants to go a different way. That's hard, to drop your program and just go where God's going. But I think that's where he wants us to be, and that's where things are going to happen. Of course, he leads us while we're preparing. That's where we start. We start receiving from him. And that's what we base our preparation on hearing from him. But we also need to be flexible to see, God, where are you going now? Okay, the river's going that way now instead of that way. We'll go in and it starts to go that way. And it can be sometimes scary to do that. But if you know that God's wanting you to go that way and you do it, then things will start happening. or not. And if we just hang on to what we are comfortable with, hang on what we know, hang on what we used to do, then we'll miss a lot of the blessing God has for His children. And in that for us as well, I believe. Okay? You've had your 20-minute span a long time ago. Anybody have any questions? That's possible. I don't know if I have all the answers, but maybe all together, yeah?
But there's a problem. This place is smart. I don't know how you can do it, because the people, and, although we were trained in English, British English, but if you lower your voice, they don't get the last sentence. There is a problem, so it's good just to tell you so that you know how. I don't know how I would have done it. No, but they cannot. We are hoping people will come from all there. So it's just, I'm trying to tell us to do our best. Because if they feel here, there will be a problem.
I'm sorry, if you haven't been able to follow, my apologies. I will try and do better. And I know sometimes, because English is my native language, that I tend to speak very fast. I know that. And I try to go slowly, but... So, if I am going too fast, please just say, slower please. Yeah? Or if you can't follow, if you can't hear, if it's not clear, please just say that. You know, because if you can't understand or hear what I'm saying, then it's no point in talking. Okay? But I will try to speak slow. Okay. Are there any more questions, comments, ideas, whatever? Please feel free to share them or ask them, whatever. And again, I don't probably know all the answers, but together we could probably get somewhere.
Thank you very much. This has been by the Vibration Club.